In many ways, the clubhouse of a AAA minor league baseball team is like a great waiting room. There are hot young prospects full of promise, major league veterans rehabbing injuries, knowing that they'll soon be back on chartered planes and checking into the Four Seasons. And there are lifers, young and old, who have bounced around this baseball purgatory. Some have gotten their shot at the big leagues and are working toward another chance, while others are waiting for a call-up that may never come. In his new book, Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball, John Feinstein follows the lives of nine players in places like Raleigh, Pawtucket, Indianapolis, and the Lehigh Valley, all with the same goal, getting to the bigs. It's published by Doubleday, and it brings John Feinstein, who's a columnist at the Washington Post and the author of a number of New York Times bestsellers, back to our show today. Welcome back.
Leonard, good to be with you. Been a while.
For those of our listeners who don't spend much time reading the sports pages, could you give us a brief description of the minor league farm system and its role as a feeder for major league baseball teams?
Every one of the 30 major league teams has at least seven farm teams. They range from the rookie league ball, which are kids who've just come out of either high school or college. Usually college players go in at a little higher entry level, up to AAA. And as you said, AAA is the waiting room for Major League Baseball. It's one step away. Each of the 30 teams has a AAA farm team. There are two leagues. The International League, which is sort of Midwest to East, has 14 teams. The Pacific Coast League has 16 teams. And I decided to focus on the International League because you always want to kind of narrow your focus when you're writing a book, and 14 teams was going to give me plenty of characters to work with. And as you said, guys in AAA are either on their way up or they've come back down. And some of them are treading water and have been in AAA a long time. One of the players I dealt with was a guy named John Lindsay, not the former mayor of New York, yeah, who had, after 16 years in the minor leagues, got called up to the major leagues, the Los Angeles Dodgers, for the first time. He has the record for the longest time in the minor leagues before getting his first call-up. But there are some guys who never get that call.
But then he wound up back in the minors.
He did. He
got
one hit.
So he wasn't good enough?
He got one hit in 22 times at bat. And, in fact, he said he was very glad that the night he got his hit, the left fielder for the Houston Astros was a guy named Carlos Lee, who's not very fast. And he said if it had been a faster left fielder, the ball probably wouldn't have dropped in. But he has the one hit, and he's got the baseball, and it's in his son's room. And, yes, he's back in AAA.
So why would somebody like John Lindsay continue to play, considering the fact that he knows he had his opportunity, mm-hmm, and he didn't take advantage of it or couldn't take advantage
of
it?
Yeah, 22 at-bats is hard to really grade somebody on in baseball. Most baseball players get 500 to 600 at-bats in a season.
Hit in 22 at-bats
is not good. There's no question. There are two reasons. One, these guys love to play. They've played the game and loved the game since they were kids. Even if they're not at the major league level, where, as you said, they stay in the Four Seasons and the minimum salary is $500,000 a year.
What is the minimum in AAA?
There is no minimum, but the average guy in AAA, because he's made it up through the low minors, is usually making anywhere from $50,000 to, in a few cases, $100,000 a year, but most are less than that. So there's a huge gap. And the lifestyle gap is huge. You're staying in a Hampton Inn as opposed to the Four Seasons. You're on chartered buses as opposed to chartered airplanes. You carry your own luggage as opposed to other people carrying it for you.
The clubhouses aren't as nice.
Clubhouses are a fraction of the size of the major league clubhouses. But the reason guys like John Lindsay and some of the other guys I wrote about in this book come back is, A, they, as I said, they love the game, but they also still have hope. I was told I was going to find a lot of bitterness when I went to research this book. Buck Showalter, who never got above AAA as a player, now the manager of the Baltimore Orioles, but he managed in AAA for 4 years. And he said, managing in AAA is the hardest job in baseball. And I said, why? And he said, because nobody wants to be there. Everybody wants to, not just players, umpires, announcers, guys who cover teams, whoever it might be, managers, would rather be in the big leagues for obvious reasons. But what I found, a little bit to my surprise, was, yeah, there were some guys who were frustrated. I didn't get a fair shot, things like that. Most of them just said, you know what? I'm in AAA because I'm not quite good enough to be in the majors. And I got to figure out what to do to get to that next level.
What about the ones who are stuck in AAA because the guy in the major leagues, Derek Jeter,
right,
is there for how many years?
19. 20?
Yeah.
Well, there are a couple things involved. One, when you are on a AAA team, you're being scouted constantly by the other 29 teams. You're not just playing for your team if you're a Yankee farmhand or a Met farmhand. You're playing for all 30 teams, hoping some scout will notice you and say, hey, we've got an issue at shortstop or left field or in the bullpen.
So they want to include you in a trade.
So they would make a trade for you. Yes, exactly. The other thing is that after 6 years, once you've been in the minor leagues for 6 years, much like in the major leagues, you can become a free agent. And if you're in an organization where you don't see the potential to move up at your position, you can go to another team.
Now, the free agent thing in the minor leagues works in another way as well. I read about people like Johan Santana, mm-hmm. but many others, signing minor league contracts in hopes of making a major league team after they have dropped out for one reason or another. Is that the way that the major league team saves money? They can offer them a much lower pay?
Well, they have what's called a two-way contract. And the way it works is if you're in the major leagues, obviously you can't make less than $500,000 a year, and you might make considerably more. If you're in the minor leagues, though, you'll be making but down in that $100,000 or less range. Now, a guy like Johan Santana, who's been a Cy Young Award winner, will probably have certain guarantees in his contract, even if, though it's a minor league contract. Every team will bring anywhere from 6 to 10 players to training camp every year on minor league contracts. Maybe one of those will make the team. Scott Ellerton, one of the guys I write about in this book, retired for 3 years and decided he wanted to try to come back and sign with the Philadelphia Phillies and went to their camp and almost made the team out of spring training, but came up just short and went to AAA.
And he describes, he says there's a difference in the smell between the two leagues.
Literally. He was, as I said, he was in the Phillies major league training camp in the last week of spring training. He got sent down, and there are two different clubhouses at every spring training complex, one for the major leaguers and one for the minor leaguers. Well, in the major league clubhouse, there's probably 40 guys in a clubhouse that could fit 100. In the minor league clubhouse, there's about 200 guys in a clubhouse that might fit 50. And he said when he walked into the minor league clubhouse, he was reminded literally of the smell of 200 men in a room fit for 50.
My guest is John Feinstein, who is the author of bestsellers like A Good Walk Spoiled and A Season on the Brink. His latest is Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball. Well, minor league, of course, is when we say somebody's a minor leaguer outside of baseball, we're making the point that that person isn't good enough.
Right.
But in many cases, these players are quite good. They're down there to hone their skills, to refine their skills.
To get to AAA, you have to be an elite baseball player. You know, I was a high school baseball player. I was probably 50 levels below these guys who are one step from the major leagues. If you go to a AAA game and in those smaller ballparks, you can sit very close, you would sit there and go, oh, my God, these guys are amazingly good baseball players. They're just not quite there. There's some little hole in their game. It can be not being able to hit a curveball or having warning track power as opposed to home run power, or not being able to throw a breaking pitch for a strike on 3-1, whatever it might be. It's usually a small thing, but it makes a big difference. And when they're at the AAA level, sometimes they get to a point where they say, am I ever going to get a chance? And we mentioned John Lindsay. There was another guy named J.C. Boskin, who was a big prospect, signed out of Venezuela when he was 16 years old by the Atlanta Braves. 14 years later, he still hadn't been in the major leagues. He had his best season ever. And he thought, if I don't get called up, because on September 1, you can expand major league rosters and guys get called up. And he said, if I don't get a September call-up this year, I'm never going to get to the majors. And the day of the call-ups, the entire Gwinnett team, in effect, played a trick on him. They all knew he was getting called up, including the manager, but he didn't know. So when he was called in by the manager, Dave Brundage, and told, you're going up, and he burst into tears because it meant so much to him, he walked back out into the clubhouse. I don't know if you saw the movie The Rookie, but at the end of the movie, when Dennis Quaid's character walks up the ramp after pitching in the major leagues, his whole town is waiting for him. It was the same type of scene in the locker room.
Well, in some cases, a player gets called up and does great after having been in the minors for a very long time. And you have to wonder whether they just finally figured it out or whether there was something wrong in management where they didn't recognize that this person had a lot more skill than his career would have suggested.
Sometimes it's a matter of getting opportunity, as you mentioned earlier. Nate McClouth was a very good player for the Pittsburgh Pirates, was an all-star early in his career, but then got injured, fell on hard times, lost his swing, ended up getting released in May of 2012. He's out of baseball. And two weeks later, Nick Markakis of the Baltimore Orioles got hurt. He got signed, McLouth did, to a minor league contract, went to Norfolk, got on a hot streak, got brought up to Baltimore, ended up being their starting left fielder in the playoffs that year, played in Baltimore last season, and this offseason was signed to a two-year, $11 million contract by the Washington Nationals. This is a guy who was out of the game completely 2 years ago.
Well, when he was traded from the Pittsburgh Pirates to the Atlanta Braves, his hitting took a turn for the West because so much of this is psychological.
He made an interesting point. He said, when you're a hitter, because all hitters go up and down, they have slumps. He said, you make a little adjustment in your swing and it doesn't work. Then you make another little adjustment. Six adjustments later, your swing is nothing like it used to be when you were successful, and you almost have to start all over again.
And sometimes coaches actually mess up a player because the swing looks weird, but it's been a success for the player, and that
exactly.
should have been the determining factor. You also talk to managers mm-hmm. and to an umpire.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting that there has not been a woman umpire in
the There have been minor league umpires.
Yeah, but not since majors. 2006.
Yeah. I don't know whether the experiences that the two women had who worked in the minors was discouraging, because I would think eventually we will have officials in all sports who are women. We have basketball referees in the NBA who are women. And that, to me, is the hardest sport physically to officiate, going up and down the court. But what's interesting about umpiring is it's not like being a player. You can't be John Lindsay and wait 16 years for your chance, or J.C. Boskin and wait 14 years for your chance. They move you up, and when you get to a point where they don't think you're good enough to be a major league umpire, you just get fired. You can be a very good AAA umpire. The guy I dealt with, Mark Lolo, was considered the best umpire in the International League. Worked home plate in the final games of the playoffs that season, but his major league supervisors had decided, even though he'd worked some major league games as a fill-in, that he wasn't going to be a major league umpire long-term. So at the end of that season, they just called him and said, you're fired.
What would determine that? He just didn't call the balls and strikes correctly?
I think in the case of Mark, it was that he always fought his weight. And, you know, even though it doesn't look like it,
I've seen some fat umpires.
Yeah, I have too. John McSherry very famously died on the field who was terribly overweight many years ago. But Mark Lolo was, you know, let's say a stocky guy, and it may be that they didn't think he moved, because umpires run a lot more than you think when they mm-hmm. rotate to help one another out on a ball hit in the gap or something like that. But I watched him work a lot of games, and I thought he was a very good umpire.
What happens when a player is sent down to rehab mm-hmm. or to get his stroke back or whatever?
Well,
is the understanding that this is only temporary?
Well, rehab is, by definition, temporary. You can only be down on rehab for up to 20 days. So teams won't send a guy down until they think they're a week or 10 days away from being ready to come back to the big leagues. Every once in a while, a player will go down on rehab and they'll leave him down there, but it doesn't usually happen that way. When someone gets down to find their stroke or figure out what's going on, they don't know if they're coming back. That's different. And John Lannon, for example, got sent down to AA in the same season that he was the opening day starter for the Washington Nationals, and actually spent a month in AA before he found something and got called back up.
And now he's in the majors again.
He's fighting for the fifth spot in the Mets rotation, yeah. But he spent most of 2012 in Syracuse.
You get the feeling that sometimes it's a way of punishing a player.
Yeah, I think it can happen that way if you have a difference with management. But I will say this. I think that most people who run Major League Baseball teams or any professional sports team, they want to win. And they're not going to let it get personal most of the time.
Now, you, as I mentioned earlier, you wrote A Good Walk Spoiled, Days and Nights in the PGA Tour. You also wrote A Season on the Brink, A Year with Bob Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers. Now you've written about minor league baseball. What's next? Canadian Junior League?
People joke with me
hockey?
About what have I got left. I'd love to write a book on hockey and call it Season on the Rink because I'm a big hockey fan. But I'm actually going to do a book on Jim Valvano, Dean Smith, and Mike Krzyzewski, three of the great basketball coaches ever.
So you're back to college coaching.
Back to college basketball. They're three fascinating characters who I happen to have known all three of them very well.
And in doing minor league baseball, you felt that you were going to reveal stuff about this game that you couldn't have if you had stayed with some major league team?
I wanted to write about guys who struggle because I find those stories most compelling. And the hardest thing about writing this book, Leonard, was figuring out what not to write because there were so many compelling stories.
Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball, is published by Doubleday. My great thanks to John Feinstein for being our guest again.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.